Hello, and thank you for connecting with us here at Oasis Online. If this ministry is an encouragement to you, I would love to hear from you. Would you send me an email at pastor@obclv.org? I hope you enjoy the service today and that God would speak directly to your heart.
We're starting a series entitled The Forgotten Ones, as I've stated earlier, but let me ask you a couple questions as we get into this message this morning. Have you ever been in a room full of people, yet felt like you were the only one there? You felt maybe that you were just left out. You felt like you had been completely forgotten. Maybe today you sit here. Maybe you feel like you've done so many things wrong that you can't be forgiven. You feel that people around you just would not accept you. And so even being in a church setting, in a place where we should come to feel loved and to feel welcomed and to feel accepted, sometimes we feel like we're forgotten. Maybe this morning you feel like Jesus has almost put you on the sidelines. And you feel left out. You feel forgotten. Let me ask you this. We'll put it in a different way or a different manner. Maybe today you don't feel like you're all alone. You don't feel like you've just been forgotten. But maybe you've served in the church for many years or whatever it would be, but maybe you feel like I'm doing all of these things and I'm working hard and I'm striving for this and I'm striving for that and I serve in this area and I serve in that area and all of it is just for naught because it doesn't really matter. What I am doing doesn't really matter. If you've been in church for any length of time, there's been a time in your life where you have felt just like that. This isn't worth it. I'm doing these things and it's just nobody appreciates me. Nobody cares. It's all for naught. I just feel like I am the forgotten one off into the corner and they just, I guess good for them that I'm able to be here and do what I need to do. Sometimes you may not feel like that, depending on the job, so to speak, that you have, the service that you provide, if you will. But I know oftentimes, I can think back to times in my own life, but there's been times where I've given of myself over and over and over, and I thought to myself, I just wish somebody would say, hey, thank you. I wish somebody would acknowledge the reality and the fact that I'm doing all of these things and I had gotten to a place where I just felt like, you know what, I have been forgotten about. Nobody even realizes what I do any longer. And let me just remind us again, one, some of that is a natural feeling that we want to be appreciated. But the other side of that is the enemy is at work in your mind to make you think that you are worthless. The task that you are doing is not necessary, it is not needed, and it's just plain out worthless. You're just forgotten about. Nobody cares that you are doing what it is that you may even feel called to do. You're just forgotten. Listen, nobody forgets about the people that stand on this stage every week. Because you see them. They sang a good song and they hit the right note. If they don't, you remember it. But when they do all of those things, everybody out here says, man, you did such a great job. And for most on this stage, I'm not speaking of just here at Oasis, but it's, you look at that and you go, wow, that's an important job. Certainly, they're not forgotten. But every Sunday, there's a hallway full of people that are working with children. They're in the nursery. Every week before you get here, somebody vacuums this entire auditorium. Somebody put those pieces of paper on your chair that you took and put in the chair pocket in front of you. Somebody did that. See, after you leave today, somebody will come back this week and clean up the cookies and the donuts that are left underneath of your chair. Can I promise you, out of the wrong spirit and the wrong heart, that person or those people will eventually get to a place when they go, nobody even cares that we do that. See, somebody this week came and cleaned the bathrooms so that when you came in, it was not a mess. And if we allow ourselves to allow the enemy to fill our minds, we will get to the place and we'll go, nobody cares. I'm just out here and I've been completely forgotten. The women and the men that work within the nursery right now, if we don't do the things that we are supposed to do, spiritually speaking, continually growing in our walk with God, we'll leave the nursery and say, oh, who cares? Nobody cares that I was even in here today, or that I was in here last week and the week before, and somebody called off again, so I'll do it again, whatever it is. And we get to a point and we go, I'm just forgotten. Nobody cares. Let me just remind you, today, in the next few weeks, that's what some of this is about. Because the lady that's in the nursery is just as important as the people that stand on this stage every single week. And the person that cleaned the toilets is just as important. And the people that do all of the little things, why? Because nobody is forgotten when you serve God with the right heart's attitude and do what God has called and asked you to do. Let me just ask you this. Some of you, and I'm going to hit the nursery for just a minute, but think about this. In 3 weeks, we have Easter. And in the church, Easter is, quote unquote, the Super Bowl of church. Why? I have no idea. Every day I live, I recognize that the God Almighty, Jesus Christ, rose from the dead, and I have life and breath because of Him. Every Sunday, I celebrate that Jesus rose from the dead. But think about this. Just think for a minute. There's going to be people that are going to say, I don't want to work in the nursery. That's a big day. I want to be a part of everything that's going on in the church. Why? Because in our minds, we feel like it's forgotten. We feel like it's not needed. We feel like it's unnecessary. But here's the real reality of it. Because somebody lovingly cares for a child, there's going to be a person that's in this room that is not going to be distracted from the Word of God, and they're going to come to know Jesus Christ. And guess who had just as much a part of that person walking an aisle and accepting Jesus Christ as I did? The people that are in the nursery, lovingly caring for a child so that an adult parent can sit in this room and say, wow, I am so glad that my child is taken care of. But listen, the enemy wants you to think what? I missed out on everything. Nobody knows that I'm doing what I'm doing. Nobody even cares. They just expect for this to happen. And we feel like we're forgotten. Nobody cares. This morning we're going to look at a passage in John chapter 12. And we're going to look at a woman who, in my opinion, was probably one of these people. Now, initially, I don't think anybody in here would think this, but as I've studied, as I've read, everywhere that I see this lady, which is three different times in Scripture, she is misunderstood. Everywhere that you see this lady in Scripture, she is at the feet of Jesus. Everywhere that you find Mary, the sister of Martha, you'll find Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. Each moment you find Mary at the feet of Jesus, you find somebody saying something awkward or weird about her at the feet of Jesus. In this particular passage, we see Mary that makes a statement. We see Mary that's sitting at the feet of Jesus while Martha is serving. And we know some of those stories, but we see that Mary is serving at the feet of Jesus. And it didn't take long before Mary was getting blasted for what she was doing and what she was about to do. And this morning, I pray that this is an encouraging series for you. I pray that the next 3 weeks, we're going to look at three different characters that are leading up really to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And if you know this story in John chapter 12, right thereafter, Jesus is about to be taken to the cross, and he's going to be arrested and all of these things. But we see that Mary sat at the feet of Jesus, regardless of what was taking place around her. And I'm sure there was times in her life where she thought, man, does this even matter? does it really matter? While all of these things are taking place and all of these people, everybody has said this or they've done that, does it matter? And so if you would, in John chapter 12, I know many of you are there already. We're looking at Mary, the sister of Lazarus and Martha, and how some of her acts, the genuine worship, were so often overlooked and forgotten by those that were around her. John chapter 12, starting in verse number 1, it says this. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethlehem, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's own, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Father God, I ask that you would use your word to pierce the hearts of those that sit here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I've entitled this sermon this morning, Worship in Love. And we're going to look at this passage and we're going to kind of dive through it. And I pray that it's something that, again, would be an encouragement to you. But worship in love. And the first thought is this. We worship in love as a servant. For most of you in this room, you know the story of Martha and Mary. You know the story, the one where Martha is working and Mary is sitting, listening at the feet of Jesus. And what does Mary or Martha say to her? Hey, why are you sitting here? You've got to get up. You've got to help me. She even goes to Jesus and she says, Jesus, why? I'm doing all of this work. I'm serving you. I'm doing all these things. And what is Mary doing? She's just sitting there doing nothing. Right? What is going on? Martha takes that. That's in Luke chapter 10. But Martha takes, and she was so worried that she was doing everything. She was serving. She was preparing. And all Mary was doing was sitting at the feet of Jesus. We see a very similar storyline right here in John chapter 12. We see in this passage of Scripture, what was Martha doing? What did it say Martha was doing? Let me know. Serving. What was Martha serving? Food. What kind of church were they? Some of you are like, what? No, what was going on? Martha and Mary and Jesus and Lazarus and the Simon the leper, the disciples, they're all gathering together and they were about to eat. And who was serving all of that food? Martha. We see a very similar picture. Here's the difference, though. We don't see anywhere where Martha begins to complain, and we don't see anywhere where Martha goes to Jesus or Martha says anything negative. Now, I don't know, and we don't know, but I don't know that her heart had a complete heart change where everything flipped. But as I look and as I read, my thoughts and everything that I've read is that Martha had a bit of a heart change. Because Martha was who Martha was. She was a servant who just wanted to serve. Listen, some of you in this room are people that just want to get the job done. There's people, I brag on my father all the time, but I do not know of another man who is more of a servant than my father. I believe that with everything in me. I have been given an amazing, I know great men that serve, but I have been given such an incredible example of a man who genuinely, selflessly, humbly serves people. And I think of my dad often when I think of serving. Because I look at my dad, that's who he is. What you see when you walk into a parking lot and you see a man running around doing whatever it is that he's doing, that is who he is. He was genuinely serving. Martha is genuinely serving the Lord. And how was she doing it? She was doing it by making and preparing and taking food. Listen, God's word speaks very plainly of what it is to be a servant and that we are to be servants. She was serving those people with heart to serve. Listen, we worship and love as a servant, as we are called to do what God has called us to do. And for Martha, in this particular picture, we see a lady who wanted to give everything to the Lord in this particular area. How did she do it? By her service. God's word says what? In Matthew 23:11, it says that the greatest among you should be your servant. The greatest among you shall be your servant. In Matthew 20:28, the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but what? To serve. As we go through several different passages, if we were to go through all of the book of Paul or all of the different writings of Paul, what does Paul say over and over and over? He says that he is a bondservant, that he is a slave, a servant of the King, the Most High. Over and over. John 12:26, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. As we get into this passage, or we get into this sermon this morning, and we're looking at the forgotten ones, and we're looking at worshiping God in love, we must worship God with the heart of being a servant. Now, the bulk of this passage is about Mary, and we'll get to that in a moment. But for each and every one of us in this room, many of you may be Martha. And it might be awkward for you to sit in a setting like this to raise your hands. I'm not the most expressive person in the world. Man, I love music and I don't have a problem to raise my hand in worship. But for some of you in this room, to raise your hand in worship is, it's not you. And that's okay. But it's the heart of serving God, how God has called you to serve. It is that we are called to be a servant of God. Martha served God by doing what? Preparing and bringing a meal before those that were there that day. We need Marthas. But don't allow the enemy to make you feel like you are forgotten because you are serving in an area that nobody else recognizes. Because those are needed. God's word is very clear. If Jesus says, I did not come to be served, but to be served, to serve you. He is not here that we would, or that we would just serve him in that capacity. No, he came not that he would be served, but that he would be the greatest example of service to all of us. And I believe that he was, right? Yes. He gave his life. He served in every capacity that he could. But when we look at these things, don't allow your service for God to walk off and be forgotten. Because you are needed. You are important. But here's the greatest part of that. It goes back to the heart. If we were to go back to Martha and we look at the other passage where in Luke where Martha went, what was she doing? She was complaining because she was working. She was doing all the things, and she was doing, look what I'm doing, look what I'm doing, look what I'm doing, look what I'm doing. Listen, let me tell you, and I've said this a million times, God does not care what you're doing, he wants you. God does not care what you're doing, he wants you. What did God, or what did Jesus tell Martha? Hey, she is sitting at the feet, she is listening, she is doing what she's supposed to be doing. Here's what we do. Man. I have to do all of this. I have to, man. My turn is up and cleaning the church building. All right, kids, I guess we have to go over there today. Now, that's a dangerous place to be in. Especially if you have children. To tell your kids, well, we have to go over to the church again. No. My kids darn near live here. And I'm not a perfect parent by any means. But I try with everything in me that I never say we have to go. But we get to go serve God. Not because, I say this all the time, not because I'm pastor. But because I'm a member of Oasis Baptist Church and this is my place of worship. We have to be cautious that we don't allow those things to infiltrate, that we think that we are forgotten, that we are, no, it's not about me, it's about God. And when we get to the place where it becomes about me, we may need to step back for a minute. Forgotten ones, we worship in love as a servant, we worship in love as we humbly sacrifice. Again, we see Mary in the posture, the position that we see her in every other time that we see in Scripture, right at Jesus' feet. This time was different. She was the only one in the room. Think about this. She was the only one in the room who truly grasped and understood what Jesus had spoken, that he would soon die and be gone. When I started reading and I started studying and you start thinking about that, she really grasped it. There was something about Mary sitting at Jesus' feet every time that we see her in Scripture that she grasped the reality that Jesus Christ was going to die and he was going to be gone. She grasped something about that. And as we look in Scripture, we see that in some of what I've been reading is that Jesus said what? The ointment was for the burial. She didn't save it for the burial. She knew that he was leaving and she was anticipating all of those things and she came. And here we see that she humbly sacrificed literally, basically everything that she had. She sat in a room full of people who had devotion to the Lord. She sat in a room where all of those that were there had just recently witnessed Lazarus being raised from the dead. Martha was serving a supper. She sat in a room with a man whose home it was, Simon the leper, who, by all accounts that I've kind of read, and the thought is that Simon the leper had leprosy and been healed by God at some point previously. Otherwise, he would not have owned a home. He would not have had people come in and all of these other things. But she sat in a room with all of these people, and she sat at his feet. About to serve the Lord in one of the most humbling, sacrificial ways that we've ever seen, and in my opinion, that we've seen in Scripture. Her expression of worship was unparalleled to anything. And you might think, what is so special about taking, in one of the other passages it says, taking the alabaster box and breaking it, and she poured it on Jesus' head, and she poured it on his feet. And she just took a perfume. Judas said, what? Why didn't you take this and sell it for $300 or 300 denarii? 300 denarii to those people, that was a year's wage. She had taken, and they say that her net worth was this whole perfume, this alabaster box of perfume. That was her net worth is what they imagined to be. She took her entire net worth and she humbly came and she sat at the feet of Jesus while everybody else did what they were doing, and she sat at the feet of Jesus, and for whatever reason, God had called for her to do what she had done, and she obediently took and broke a box and began to pour it upon his head and pour it upon his feet. Everything that she had basically was wrapped up in that one box. You know, we love the story of the lady and the widow's mite. But basically, this was the same exact story. She took everything that she had, and she broke it open, and she poured it over Jesus' head, and she poured it over his feet. But she didn't just stop there. She didn't just pour it on his head. She didn't just pour it upon his feet. But what did she do? She took her hair, which would have been up in some kind of a bun or something, and she took her hair out. And in those days, especially in that culture, the ladies, if they had hair, they did not pull it out in front of everybody in public. It was always left up. And she pulled her hair out. If you know scripture, 1 Corinthians in verse 11, or chapter 11 and 15 says, "But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her." Her hair was glorious. Her hair was special. And she took it out. And as she's sitting at the feet of Jesus, she begins to take her hair and she begins to wash Jesus' feet. Who washed anyone's feet in that day? It was the lowest of slaves. But yet she took her alabaster box, which I don't know how close in size that it would have been to something like this, but when I was in Egypt, I was able to purchase an alabaster vase. She took it, and it says that she broke it. She began to pour it. And she took her hair. She began to wash the feet of Jesus. Listen, if we want to humbly, or if we want to worship God in love, if we want to be a church that is doing what God has called us to do, if you want to be what God has called you to do, we worship in love as we humbly sacrifice. We humbly sacrifice. You say, well, how humbling is that? How sacrificial is that? She poured an ointment on him. She washed his feet. She gave everything that she had. Sacrificially. Think about this. What do I do? I'll be frank with what I do. You can ponder what you do. When God tugs on my heart and says, "Aaron, I need you to give." You know the first thing that comes to my mind is? It's not just, "Here you go, God." I stop and I think, what bills are this week? What is this going to cost me? What am I not going to have because I did this? How many Coca-Colas in my world, it's how many Cokes do I not have? For you, it may be how many Starbucks drinks or how many whatever it is that you enjoy. I don't know. But what I do, I stop and I began to think of what it is going to cost me. She didn't. She took her life savings, her life worth, and she took it. And on the feet of Jesus, she drops it. She takes it and begins to wash the Savior's feet. She didn't stop and say, "Well, I could get 300 denarii out of this. And I could do so much more. If I were to just sell this, I could do so much more with it. Because I could pay for this for Jesus, or I could do this for Jesus." No, she took it because Jesus and God had talked to her, the Holy Spirit. However we look at that, she felt compelled, and she did what God had called her to do, humbly sacrificing herself at the feet of Jesus. Why? She just wanted to worship her Savior in love. She just wanted to give everything that she could. Because in her mind, she recognized, man, there was a time when I sat at Jesus' feet and he was telling us that one day I'm not going to be here. There was something that triggered. There was some light bulb that went off for her. There was something there, and she broke that alabaster box and she began to pour it out. But let me share with you this, and I know I'm coming in on time, but let me share with you this. Judas did what? Judas said, "Mary, what are you doing?" Think about the setting. Just think about this. I don't know how many people there are right here, but these two rows, we're having lunch, we're having dinner. The supper is about to be had. Mary is down on her feet. Just imagine, just stop. Has anybody ever been in a heartfelt foot washing service before? Have you ever been in a service where you were just like, God showed up. It was an amazing service. It was just powerful. It was silent. It was, the Spirit of God was there. How about it? Anybody? All right. Picture, go back to that time. Mary at the feet of Jesus, her hair down, oily and perfume smelling everywhere, washing the feet of Jesus, and she's looking up at Jesus, I don't know, tears maybe dripping down her face, and Judas looks in the midst of silence and says, "What are you doing? Why would you do that?" Think of the heart of Mary at that point. I know what I would do. I would get up and I would punch Judas in the face. Are you stinking kidding me? Right now, in the middle of this, that's what you have? Think of that. Think of one of your kids sitting in a setting around people. And somebody's like, "What are you doing?" I don't know if there was a complete brokenness in her heart. I don't know if she just said, "Well, I know this is what I'm supposed to do." We don't know what that moment was. But listen, every time that you humbly sacrifice, people are watching. Everybody around you is watching. Someone is going to say something that they ought not say. There's going to be a Judas everywhere that you go, that God is pouring out His Spirit to you, and you begin to do what God has called you to do. There's going to be somebody that says, "You have lost your mind." There's going to be. Hey, I've received it. I vividly remember people saying things to me, and I'm like, "Well, that was great. Thank you for that word of encouragement." We've all been there. But Mary gave everything. I don't know what her facial expression would have been. I don't know what any of that would have been. But we worship and love as we humbly sacrifice at the feet of Jesus. And we know this, that people are watching. And not everyone is going to be as excited as you are about what you just did. And for you, it might be taking a life savings, a net worth of whatever it is, a year's worth of saving your money. And it may be something that simple, where when you come and you break that open, and you pour it out, someone says, "Did you stop to think? Did you stop to think about that?" How do you give that much time to your church? How do you tithe an offering? How do you do this? Or why would you do that? Are you crazy? And you say, "Oh yeah, it's okay. It's okay. Because I'm," and you don't say this to them, but in your mind you're going, "Yeah, but I'm just humbly coming before God. Because here's why. When we worship and love, it's for Him." See, why could Mary break? I don't know. I've hit this a few times. It hasn't broken. So how could she take that, break it, and accept the ridicule, and accept the verbal abuse, and accept those things? How could that happen? Why? Because she wasn't doing it because of what she felt. She just felt that it was the right thing to do, and this is sweet, and everyone's going to love me. No, she knew in the depths of who she was that this is what God had told her to do, and she was humbly sacrificing everything at the feet of Jesus, not because she cared what you thought, but because she was doing it for Him. I said it earlier, and I've said it a million times. I don't come here to serve you. I come here to honor and worship and serve my Savior. And when I do, I get to serve you. When that is the heart's cry of the people and of Mary and of all of us, it's a whole different outcome because I don't care. I'm human, so yes, we care. I understand that. I'm not the guy that you're like, "Man, you offended me today." And I'm like, "I don't care." No, that's not what I'm saying. Some of you are like that. I'm sure I've been like that before. It's just who I am. Oh, that's right. It's just who I am. So I can tell you whatever I want. regardless of, yeah, anyway. But no, we do it, why? Because it's not about me. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, then said Jesus, let her alone. Let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me you have not always. I don't know if while Mary was down and Judas began to scold her, what are you doing? I don't know if she looked up with just a blank face of like, wow, what just happened? I don't know if she did that. I don't know if she just sat there. Maybe Judas was yelling and she just continued to wipe his feet. But I can picture Jesus just kind of wrapping his arms around her and saying, hey, it's okay. It's all right. Because I know that you did this because of this. I know that you saved every penny that you had. I know that all of this, I know that this was a cost for you. I recognize. You did this for me. This morning, I'm going to conclude the service with this. When we worship in love, it leaves an aroma. If we were to go back up into this passage of Scripture, in verse number 3, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And it says this, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. This morning, as we look at this passage of Scripture, the forgotten ones, and we look at a story of Mary, and we look that there's, when we truly worship in love and we do these things, we do so as a servant. We do so humbly sacrificing. We do so because it's for Him, not for ourselves. And we do so, and when we do those things, it leaves an aroma behind. Listen to me this morning. When you serve God with all of your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and you allow the Holy Spirit to move and work in you, I promise you, wherever you go, there is an aroma that comes with that. I promise you. When you walk into a room and you leave that room, somebody will say, there was something different about that guy. There was something different about that woman. I'll never forget some of the different places that I've been around the world, around vacations, around family, whatever it was. I'll never forget where I've walked into people's lives and I've thought, that's a believer. My wife and I went to the Bahamas on our wedding anniversary, and it sounds a whole lot more awesome than it really, really was, but that's a whole nother story. But we went to the Bahamas, and one of the things that we did was we took a tour. Well, we took three tours, and we had a flat tire on every tour that we took, but that's a whole part of the story. But when we were going, there was a couple that was there from North Carolina, I believe, and I don't remember their names right now, but we left that first setting, or we just kind of found each other, we clicked. We were talking, and we both got back in the car, and we were headed back to our place, and I looked at Mindy, and I said, that's a Christian couple. We knew we were getting back together the next time, and we got back together, and we had lunch, and we were going on another tour, and they were with us again, and throughout the conversation, I just asked them, you guys attend church. You're Christians. Yeah? You go, well, why would you share those stories? Because when you live your life in a certain manner, people can tell. And for this instance, maybe you go, well, that's a lot different. It was a whole bunch of perfume, which was really a very expensive perfume, and she broke it. Of course. Of course you could smell it. No, of course everybody can tell who you are when you leave the room. Because when God's in you, When the Holy Spirit dwells within you and you live your life in such a manner, the others around you notice. And so as we go through these things, as we look at these the next several weeks, I'm just going to ask you a question. What is the aroma that you leave behind? What is that? Because everywhere you go, people will figure something out about you. People are watching. Mary could have very easily been holding her box and sat there and thought, well, I don't know what they're going to think of me. So maybe I'll wait until the next time that I see Jesus. But she said, no. I've got to give everything today. Maybe you would be Judas. And you would be the person that would say, what are you doing? Why would you do that? But what is that aroma that we leave behind? I know for me, I pray that when I go to a restaurant, that I'm the right customer that I need to be. I pray that I tip and I treat somebody kindly. Whether they were good to me or they're not good to me, that I leave a tip and I treat them with the utmost respect to the best of my ability. You say, well, they weren't good. They were horrible service. That's okay. Their mom passed away the day before and they had to go to work today. You don't know. You don't know who sits beside you and what they went through last night. But we in our self-righteousness decide to be the judge and the juror, and we let everybody know they were horrible. That's, yeah, good. You left a good aroma behind. You say, well, that's pretty rude. No, that's real life. That's what we face every day. We make these decisions every day. There's been times I've left a waitress or a waiter and I've thought, wow, I shouldn't have treated that person that way. There's been times I've said things and I've thought, wow, I blew it there. But what is the aroma that we leave behind?
Thank you for worshiping with us here at Oasis Online. If this message was an encouragement to you, would you send me an email and let me know at pastor@obclv.org. Before you go, go check us out at oasisbaptistchurch.org. And if we can be of any help to you or an encouragement to you, please let us know. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.